Agile is dead.
Wow, that is quite the way to start.
I know, right?
I mean, considering Agile has been the absolute gold standard for software development for what, more than 2 decades now?
It feels almost, I don't know, sacrilegious to say out loud. It's like shouting that the hymnals are wrong. Agile saves us from waterfall. That's why we have modern software.
Yes.
But that is the bold claim we are grappling with today. We're looking at a really provocative piece from a group called Technogean titled Beyond Agile: The Rise of AI Native Software Development.
It's a fascinating read. And, you know, just to be clear, before we get a flood of angry emails,
Right.
the source isn't saying the principles of Agile are dead. Collaboration, adaptability, responding to change, that stuff's not going anywhere.
Nobody wants to go back to writing 400-page documents that no one reads.
Exactly. No one wants that. They're arguing that the structure of Agile, the rituals, you know, the 2-week sprints, the story points, the retrospectives, these things were revolutionary 2001.
Sure.
But Technogean's argument is that they are fundamentally broken now.
Because 2001 was a pre-AI world.
A completely pre-AI world. Think about it. Agile was built to organize talented humans working in human-paced bursts. It accepted human limitations. We need time to think, time to type, time to sleep.
But today we have tools that operate at machine speed intelligence. They can generate code, test it, deploy it, all in seconds.
And that's the conflict. The source has this killer analogy for it.
The Formula One car.
Yes, using Agile with modern AI tools is like buying a Formula One car and then only driving it at 30 miles per hour because that's the speed limit on the road you built 20 years ago.
You have this incredible engine, this AI, but you're forcing it to stop at every red light because your process says we only review things on a Friday.
That's the perfect way to put it.
So our mission today is to unpack this. We need to understand why the old ways are cracking under the pressure of AI, and then walk through this new model they propose, the AI native software development life cycle.
And we should be skeptical.
I am. Is this just another buzzword, or is this really different?
I think it's very different. And honestly, it's not just for developers. If you're running a business, this is about speed, cost, and frankly, survival in a market that's just moving faster than humanly possible.
Okay, let's get into those cracks in the foundation. Why is Agile suddenly the villain? You mentioned the speed mismatch.
Right. So the core unit of Agile is the sprint. Usually it's a 2-week cycle. You plan for 2 weeks, you work for 2 weeks, you review at the end.
It's a human rhythm. It counts for our own, latency.
Precisely. But AI has no latency. An AI-assisted workflow can often complete what used to be an entire sprint's worth of work in hours.
Hours.
In hours. So if you lock that high-velocity AI workflow into a rigid 2-week structure, you are artificially slowing yourself down. You're creating process latency.
It makes sense. It's like, why are we waiting for next Monday's planning meeting if the AI finished the feature, tested it, and verified it this morning?
Exactly. And this leads to the second major crack, which I think is fascinating because it hits the metrics,
Yeah.
the collapse of story points.
Oh, story points. The absolute bane of every developer's existence.
Is this a 3 or a 5 argument?
No, it's clearly an 8 in complexity.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who doesn't code, this is just how teams estimate how hard a task is.
Right. And the whole premise is based on predictable human effort. We know roughly how long it takes a human to write, say, a login module, but what happens when an AI model can generate that entire fully functional module in 30 seconds?
The estimate becomes what, zero?
It approaches zero, essentially. And this creates like an economic collapse of the metric itself. If you have a list of 50 tasks and 45 of them can be done by an AI in under a minute, how do you even plan a sprint?
You can't. The whole system breaks down.
The math just doesn't work. Teams end up either gaming the system to make their charts look good, pretending things are harder than they are, or they just ignore the points entirely.
So the map you're using to navigate just doesn't match the terrain anymore.
That's a great way to put it. And it gets even worse when you look at what the source calls the rearview mirror problem.
This was the part about retrospectives, right? The end of sprint meeting.
Yes, in Agile, you finish your 2 weeks, and then the team gets together to talk about what went wrong. Why did the build fail last Tuesday? Why is this part of the code so messy?
Which sounds healthy on the surface. You have to learn from your mistakes.
It is healthy if you're moving at human speed. But the source compares this to forensics. You're analyzing the crime scene after the body is cold.
A little morbid, but I get it.
In an AI native world, you don't wait 2 weeks to find out something went wrong. The AI should be giving you real-time insights. It should be flagging anti-patterns, those are just bad coding habits, and suggesting fixes while you're writing the code.
So it's the difference between a detective showing up later and a security guard who stops the crime from ever happening?
Exactly that. Waiting for a retrospective meeting becomes obsolete latency. It's just too slow.
It's really fascinating how things that felt like discipline a decade ago, like manual code reviews or strict QA gates, are now being framed as pure bottlenecks.
The source has a great line for that.
I remember this one. It's called "Keeping Those Tasks Manual Inefficiency Dressed Up as Process." That's a burn.
It's a harsh truth, though. I mean, think about it. Code reviews, QA testing, writing documentation, these are the exact repetitive pattern-matching tasks that AI excels at. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't skim.
So if you insist on keeping those tasks strictly human-only out of some sense of tradition, you're not being rigorous.
You're just being slow.
Okay, so if agile is the old crumbling castle, what's the new skyscraper? The source calls the AI-native SDLC. Could you define that? Because I worry people will just hear, oh, well, I'll use ChatGPT to write my tickets, and boom, I'm AI-native.
And that is exactly what this is not. The expert from Technusion is very, very clear on this. This is not agile with AI sprinkled on top.
So what is it then?
It's a ground-up reconceptualization. It means AI is an active, intelligent participant in every single phase of the life cycle, not just a tool you pull out every now and then.
Let's walk through those phases, because I think the difference is really stark when you see it step by step. It starts way before any code is written with requirements.
Right. Usually that's a product owner sitting in a room, taking notes, trying to figure out what the client wants.
And maybe they miss something. Or the client forgets a key detail.
In the AI native approach, you have AI augmented requirements. The AI can't read the client's mind, but it can read everything else. It analyzes your business data, competitor benchmarks, user behavior patterns, industry regulations.
So it surfaces things a human might miss.
Exactly. It might say, hey, based on user trends in your competitor's last release, you really need this feature. And by the way, don't forget, you need to be HIPAA compliant here because you're touching patient data.
It's shifting left, moving that validation and discovery way earlier in the process.
That's the key term. You're not guessing anymore. You're using data to define the scope from day one.
Okay, phase two, intelligent architecture. This one I have to admit I'm a little skeptical about. Architecture is usually the domain of the senior engineers, the gray beards, drawing boxes on a whiteboard.
And it doesn't replace their thinking, it validates it. This is where it gets really cool. In this model, the AI simulates different architectural solutions before anyone writes a line of code. It creates a digital twin of the system.
A digital twin?
Yeah. It can simulate performance under heavy load, check for security holes, and come back and say option B is 20% faster and more secure than option A.
That's wild. Usually, we argue about architecture for weeks, build it, and then find out 6 months down the line that it can't handle the traffic.
And this condenses all that debate and trial and error into a data-informed decision that takes minutes. It turns architecture from an art into a science.
So then we get to the actual coding. Phase three, AI-assisted development. We've all seen tools like Copilot. Is it just more of that?
It includes that, but it's much deeper. It's not just helping you complete a line of code. The AI is generating the boilerplate, building out entire routines, and this is the crucial part, writing the unit tests simultaneously with the code.
Wait, it writes the tests as it writes the code?
At the same time.
That is the dream. Every developer I know hates writing tests. We all say we'll do it later, and later never comes.
And that's how you get technical debt. That's the interest you pay on messy code. In this model, you don't accumulate that debt because the code is covered by tests from the moment it's created.
Which leads right into phase four. Continuous quality assurance. The source calls this the no-gap approach.
This is probably the biggest shift for the business side. Normally, testing is a phase at the very end. You build, 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 then you stop and you test.
The QA crunch. I've lived it. It is not fun.
In the AI native SDLC, testing isn't a phase. It's a continuous thread woven through the whole process. The AI is constantly running regression suites, security scans, checking for edge cases.
So defect escape rates, the number of bugs that make it to the user, they just drop.
Drastically. Because the gap between creating a bug and finding it disappears. You aren't fixing a bug from 3 weeks ago. You're fixing a logic flaw you made 10 seconds ago.
And the last phase? Phase five. Predictive deployment. I love the word predictive there.
It's all about moving from reaction to prevention. Instead of deploying and waiting for the servers to fall over, the AI predicts deployment risks. It monitors for anomalies that precede an outage.
So it's like pre-crime for server crashes.
Hopefully with less dystopia, but yes. The idea is to get a notification of a predicted failure before any user is ever affected.
Okay. I'm listening to all this, and I'm imagining a developer listening, and I can feel the anxiety rising. We have to address the elephant in the room.
The fear of replacement.
Exactly. If the AI is writing code, testing code, checking the architecture, predicting the crashes, what is left for the human? Are we just obsolete?
This is the big question, right? But the source, and Technigian specifically, is emphatic about this. The answer is absolutely not.
Convince me. Because it sounds like the machine is doing all the heavy lifting.
It's doing the heavy lifting, the grunt work. But is that bad? Think about the shift in role. Humans go from being line-by-line code producers to being architects of AI-assisted solutions.
True. No one wakes up in the morning excited to write another getter and setter method.
Exactly. The human role moves up the stack. Product managers get better data to make smarter strategic decisions. QA professionals stop writing repetitive manual tests and start supervising the automated intelligence, focusing on the really complex, nuanced cases that an AI might miss.
So we're not being replaced, we're being promoted.
In a way, yes. You become the conductor of the orchestra, not just one of the violin players. Mm. And the source claims this actually leads to higher developer satisfaction because you're solving the hard, interesting problems, not just the tedious ones.
Okay, let's pivot to the business owners. Why should they care? I mean, changing your entire development methodology sounds expensive. It sounds risky.
It is, and the source is honest about that. The initial investment in the AI infrastructure and the training, it's higher. You have to buy the Formula One car before you can drive it.
So where's the payoff?
It comes down to three things: time, cost, and security. First, time to market. When you remove all those human bottlenecks, features move from concept to production in a fraction of the time.
And in a competitive market, speed wins.
Always. Second is cost. But you have to look at the total ownership cost over, say, an 18-month horizon.
Mm.
Because you have less rework, fewer bugs making it to production, and a lower burden on manual QA, the total cost drops significantly over time.
It's that old measure twice, cut once idea, but at machine speed. A bug caught in development costs a dollar. A bug caught by a customer costs $1,000.
Exactly. And third is security. This is huge for regulated industries like healthcare or finance. In the old model, security was often that last checkbox you tried to tick before a deadline.
And usually the answer is, we ran out of time, just ship it.
Right. In the AI native way, security is embedded from the start. The AI is scanning for vulnerabilities in real time. For a hospital worried about HIPAA, the compliance evidence is basically generated automatically as you build. It's baked in, not bolted on at the end.
Now, Technigian, the group behind this research, they're actually practitioners, right? They're doing this in the wild.
Yes, and I think that's important context. They've been serving Southern California and Orange County since 2000. They specialize in modernizing legacy systems.
Which is a polite way of saying fixing old, clunky software.
Well, yes. But that's where the rubber really meets the road. They aren't just talking about building shiny new things from scratch. They're talking about taking established businesses with decade-old code bases and integrating these AI workflows.
That's a key distinction. It's easy to be AI native if you start today. It's much harder if you have 20 years of technical debt to deal with.
Right. And they note that it's not an overnight switch. A pilot program takes 60 to 90 days. A full organizational transition, you're looking at 6 to 18 months.
So it's a journey. Not a light switch.
Definitely. But the argument is that the journey is necessary because staying where you are is becoming a liability. You're driving at 30 miles per hour while your competitors are flooring it.
So let's bring it all home. We started this by saying agile is dead.
We did.
But really, what it seems you're saying is that the human-paced era of development is ending. Agile had a great, great run. It saved us from waterfall. But we're now entering the era of machine speed intelligence.
That's the core takeaway. The metric of success is changing. It's no longer how many story points did we complete. Now it's how intelligently are we building.
So if you're listening to this, whether you're a developer, a manager, a business owner,
yeah.
I want you to look at your own workflows tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, where are you driving that Formula One car at 30 miles per hour?
Where are you waiting for a meeting to decide something that data could have told you 3 days ago?
Exactly. The tools are here. The question is, are you brave enough to let go of the rituals that are holding you back?
You know, if you really zoom out, this whole conversation raises a pretty provocative thought for the future.
Here we go. Lay it on me.
We're talking about an AI that can predict defects before they happen, write code faster than we can think, and optimize its own architecture.
Right.
So, are we moving toward a future where software just evolves on its own?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, right now we're the architects. We set the vision. But as these systems get smarter, will we eventually stop writing software altogether? Will we just set the destination, I want an app that does X, and the software just builds, maintains, and evolves itself in real time without us ever touching it?
That is equally exciting and terrifying.
It's the logical conclusion of this AI native path.
Well, on that slightly existential note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. Whether you're ready to let the machines take the wheel or you're still clinging to your sticky notes, the world is changing. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.